And welcome back to our parallel research session. Our next speaker is Dr. Xiaoping Li. Dr. Li was trained as a postdoctoral fellow at UCSF for 2 years to study lung stem cells. And he is currently an associate professor in the Department of Pediatrics and Human Development in the College of Human Medicine at Michigan State University. His main research objective is to investigate the roles of distal small airways in the pathogenesis of CF lung disease. We welcome Dr. Li today for his presentation on role of disrupted airway surface liquid and pH regulation in small airways in CF lung disease pathogenesis.
Thanks, Julie, for the invitation. My pleasure to present our work here. As Julie said, the title is "The Role of ASL pH of Distal Small Airways in CF Lung Disease Pathogenesis." I have nothing to disclose. The outline of my talk is following. First, I'll talk about origin of CF lung disease, and then talk about definition of small airways and why and how to study small airways. And then I'll talk about what's the evidence showing CF small airways has host defense defect, then show small airway have different regulation of ASL pH in CF small airways. Then finally, I'll talking about targeting small airways for gene therapy or stem cell therapy. We know CF is caused by CFTR mutation in the CF, both CFTR allele. CFTR is an anion channel, which is permeable to both chloride and bicarbonate. CF is a multiple organ disease, affect liver, pancreas, intestine, reproductive tract, sweat gland, and most importantly, infect airways and inflammation in the lung is the main cause of morbidity and mortality in the people with CF. Pathogenesis is still controversial, even though we know the cause of the gene, which is CFTR, which is anion channel. So Dr. Engelhardt presents some data showing how the animal model can advance study for the pathogenesis. And also CF pig model provide a unique opportunity to study this pathogenesis. Before I talk about how CFTR contributed to the CF lung disease, let's review the tracheal bronchial tree. Yesterday, we learned from a presentation from Dr. Okuta saying how to define large and small airways. Basically, the airway tree can be divided into 23 generations. The first five generations we call them large airway, and from generation 12 to 16, maybe we'll call them small airway. As airway divide, the diameter decrease, so total cross-section increase. Using the animal models, people figured out role of CFTR in regulating ASL pH in the large airway. The ASL means airway surface lining fluid, which is a layer of liquid covering the surface. It's about 10 micron depth, and it's pH regulated by both CFTR mediated bicarbonate transporter and ATP mediated proton secretion. If, in CF situation, the ATP 12A mediated proton secretion is not checked by the bicarbonate secretion from CFTR, then ASL pH is acidic. If you have acidic pH in the large airway, then you will have antimicrobial defect and mucociliary transport defect, cause large airway is a vulnerable site for onset of disease. So why study small airways in CF? Actually, small airways are also a site of lung disease. You can see from these pictures, large airway, they have mucus accumulation on the surface area. Also in the right side, you can see the small airway also got infected, got the mucus plugged in the small airways. Besides, small airway have a large greater surface area than the large airways. Actually, the dogma says CF small airways, CF lung disease starting small airways. but there's no direct experimental data to support that. Having said that, there's abundant clinical data suggest involvement of small airways in CF lung disease. In the early days, when there's no effective CF therapies, CF patients die in their early stage, even baby die in their infancy. When they do autopsy study, so they can find out CF infants, we have bronchial wall thickening and dilation. Nowadays, we have high resolution CT. We can see air trapping in the peripheral lung. Pulmonary function tests also indicate, when in the early stage, FEV1, which reflects the central large airway function, can maintain relatively stable in the early stage. But FEVF 25 to 75%, which reflects small airway function, gradually declining before the FEV1 declining. So why this assumption has not been tested? I think mainly because of we have limited tool to study small airways. All those techniques listed here, pulmonary function test, breath washout technique, and lung clearance index, or mesenteric attenuation on CT, all those techniques cannot directly measure small airway functions. Then another challenge is we cannot study small airways from the CF newborn babies because it's impossible. Also, CF mice do not have lung disease. So that's why we turn to our CF pig model to study CF small airways. The advantage is CF pig model develop lung disease like a human CF patient. They mimic a human lung epithelia, but no infection at birth. So this is a microdissected small airway from the left lung from a newborn CF pig. You can see we can dissect the airway tray out and can also the small airway get preserved. How small the airway get preserved, we can compare to the micro CT image from the trachea lobe. You can see the smallest airway preserved in the microdissection technique. It's the small airway we can study is about 200 micron. So how to define small airway? Actually, large and small is a relative concept. We have to think about the effect of species or ages compared to the animal, elephant to mouse. We cannot use the same standard even for the human compared to the infant to the adult. Also, we have to use a different standard. So the definition for adult, we define small airway as following. Diameter less than 2 millimeter, lack of complete cartilage ring support, do not take part in gas exchange and the near terminal bronchioles. The picture shows the microdissected small airways from human lung. So how to define small airways in our newborn pigs? So we have to rely on histology technique. So here shows the whole left lung airway tree. The blue is ocean blue staining to stain the cartilage. You see the large airway is surrounded by complete cartilage ring. If you cut a cross section from the bronchi, you can see the airway structure is consists with pseudo stratified epithelial cells and some mucosal gland and the cartilage. If you cut a cross section from the distal small airway, you can see only cuboid epithelial cells. There's no stratified epithelial cells, no gland. So that's how I define our small airways in our newborn pig study. Basically, it's diameter less than 200 micron and no complete cartilage ring support and absence submucosal gland and no stratified, pseudo stratified epithelia. Large airway just including trachea and bronchi. So in order to establish an in vitro cell culture model, we have to micro-dissect the small airway out. Here is an example how we dissected the small airway. You can see left side is the airway tray, the whole airway tray, and right side is the whole micro, the small piece we clipped off from the airway tray in order to get enough small airway tissue to generate primary cultures. After we dissect the airway tray into large area and small airway, then we use enzyme to digest the tissue, and then we form a single cell suspension and reseed the cells into transwell so they can form well-differentiated epithelial cells. Here, this example showing large airway and small airway, they both form well-differentiated epithelial cells on transwell. Based on this picture, maybe you say maybe they're not that different, but actually when you do tissue-specific staining, you can see they are way different. Here, one example is in the large airway, we cannot detect surfactant protein D expression. In contrast, there is abundant surfactant protein D expression in the small airway. So with this aortic interface culture model, we studied the Wooten chamber. The protocol we're using is first we put the cells in the Wooten chamber and we put amiloride in the apical chamber to inhibit the ENaC current. And then we use a DIDS to inhibit calcium activated chloride channel. And then we use Foscarney IBMX to stimulate CFTR current. Then we use GlyH to inhibit the CFTR current. In our experiment design, we always use paired large and small airway from the same animals, also non-CF and CF animals from the little mid control. Here we can show this is a representative trace from large and small from a non-CF pig. You can see that they're amiloride treatment, the short circuit current decrease, and also DIDS also can reduce the short circuit current. And second GMP treatment can increase short circuit current and can be blocked by GlyH. In contrast, for the CFs, large and small airways, we did not see that second GMP stimulated current. So to dive deep, we found out there's in the non-CF small airways, there's a higher second GMP stimulated current. You see the green bar in the non-CF small airways, it's higher second GMP stimulated current. Same is true for the conductance. And for the CF, large and small airways, there's not much second GMP stimulated current. Same true for the GlyH stimulated inhibited current. And we can see in the non-CF small airway, there's a higher GlyH sensitive current compared to large airway. And in the CF, large and small airways, there's not much GlyH sensitive current. So this makes us wondering, do small airways have more CFTR current because they have higher second GMP stimulated current? So we did CFTR MRA in fresh excess tissue from both large airway and small airway. And we normalize the CFTR gene to the ZO1 as a housekeeping gene because they will normalize the epithelial cell of tissue. We found out small airway is about 1.5 fold higher than large airway in non-CF animals. Then we were wondering if also non-CF small airways, they transport more bicarbonate because if they have more CFTR, then maybe they will transport more bicarbonate. So we used the Wooten chamber to test the bicarbonate transporter, which is using chloride-free 25 millimolar bicarbonate solution. We found out exactly, in non-CF small ways, there's a higher bicarbonate transporter than in the non-CF large airways. So here, this is a bar graph showing the same thing. There's more bicarbonate transporter in non-CF small airways, and there's no bicarbonate transporter in CF large and small airways. Then we're wondering if non-CF small airways have higher ASL pH. So we used a snuff dye to measure ASL pH. Basically, we load the dye on the apical side of the apical culture and stimulate with Foscarney for 2 hours and measure the pH. We found out small airways do have higher ASL pH. Also, we found out ASL pH in small airway is lower in CF epithelial cells using the same method. So in the large airway, people already studied the antimicrobial defect is due to ASL pH lower in the large airway. So we're wondering if there's an antimicrobial defect in CF small airways. We used two ways to measure bacterial killing. The first one, we used luciferase labeled live bacteria. So the way we're doing that is we put the luciferase labeled live bacteria on long CF small airways or CF small airways. And a couple minutes later, we can measure how many live bacteria presented in each culture. Here, this shows in CF small airways, there's more live bacteria in CF small airway culture. That means CF small airway has killed less bacteria. Another way we can verify this result, we use another called bacterial coated gold grades assay. Basically, we coat the bacteria on the grade gold and then apply this grade gold grade on the apical surface. And then we, for 2 minutes, then we take the grades off and stain bacteria alive and dead and verify the what's the percentage of the cells is alive or dead on the grades. We can see in long CF small airways, there's the percentage of dead bacteria is higher compared to the CF small airways. This indicates non-CF small airways kill more bacteria. So also in the large airway, people showed there's mucociliary transport defect because of lower pH. And we're wondering if this is true for our small airways. So the way we measure mucociliary transport is we measure ASL viscosity because if you have higher viscosity, then the resistance to cilia motion will be increased. So it will be hard to move things around. The way we measure viscosity is using FRAP assay called fluorescence recovery after photo bleaching. It's measuring diffusion rate of the fluorescence dextrin. So we load dextrin on the apical surface and give a laser pulse. Then we can measure the fluorescence intensity recovery over time. That will be reflecting the viscosity. Here we showed compared to the non-CF small airways, CF small airways have higher ASL viscosity. So to summarize, I think in the large airway, because of ASL pH is lower, we have antimicrobial defect. Also, there's a mucociliary transport defect at burst due to anchored mucus strand in the gland duct because of lower pH. For the small airway, we found out the bacterial, they also have antibacterial defect in small CF small airways. The ASL viscosity also is increased in CF small airways. I think this makes CF small airways also a vulnerable site for the onset of the disease. Next question is regulation of ASL pH is different, between large versus small airways? Let's review the large airway, how ASL pH get maintained. Large airway, you have CFTR secreted bicarbonate, and we have ATP12A to secret proton. If we don't have CFTR in the CF setting, then the proton can secreted by ATP12A cannot check, so you have lower ASL pH. Then we're wondering if ATP12A play the same role in the small airways. So then we checked ATP12A expression in our small airway culture. We found out actually small airway culture, there's not basically minimal ATP12A expression. Then we checked also ATP12A expression by Western blot. You can see, ATP12A is very abundant expressed in the large airway, but minimal expressed in the long CF small airway and CF small airways. This is quantification of the Western blot on the right side. So then also did immunostaining on the cultured primary epithelial cells. You can see the brown color in the large airway is the AD2A staining. You can see that expressed in the ciliated cells and some non-ciliated cells. And compared to the small airway, there is a little bit expression in the AD2A in the small airways. So also we tested if ADP12A inhibitor, which is swapping, can be what's the effect on the ASL pH in the large airway and small airways. We can see here in the large airway, swapping can increase ASL pH as expected, but in the small airway, the swapping, when we apply a swapping on the apical surface, and there's not much effect on ASL pH. So with all this data, we're wondering, even though CF small area has lower pH, that means they have what's the acid secretion? Who is the player there? So we did a microarray in our large and small airway cultures. Here, this shows the top differential gene in the large and small airways. Here we noticed the V-type ADPase D2 subunit, V0 D2 subunit. It's much higher in small airways. So we're wondering if V-type ADPase could be the alternative proton pump in the small airways. But we studied that if this V-type ADPase is location in the large and small airways. Here you can see actually the V-type ADPase, the subunit V0D2, ADP6 V0D2, expressed not in the ciliated cells, but in the MUC5B positive cells in the small airways. So here, then we used the V-type ADPase inhibitor, bofulamycin, to see if they can change ASL pH and viscosity in small airways. Here's the data. In the bicarbonate containing solution, we can see with bofulamycin, the ASL pH is increasing with in small airways. Also, to eliminate the CFTR contribution to this assay, we also did the similar assay, but using bicarbonate phase solution, we can see also bifenthrin has a dramatic effect on ASL pH. So at the same time, we tested if bifenthrin has any effect on viscosity. You can see when I apply bifenthrin and measure viscosity using the FRAP assay, we can see bifenthrin can decrease ASL viscosity. So because bifenthrin is a general inhibitor for all kind of V-type ADPase, so we're wondering if maybe they have some non-specific effect. To address that questions, we use the sRNA target V-type ADPase V0D2, because we are thinking this isoform, determines the apical localization of the V-type ADPase. That if we can knock down this isoform, then I think the apical localization will be decreased. Then you will be decreasing the ASL. There will be decrease the proton pump activity, then we can increase our ASL pH. So here, this example, we use the pictures show the effect of the siRNA. We can reduce the expression level of ADP6 V0D2 in small airways. Subsequently, and we can see also with siRNA lockdown, the ASL pH is increasing. I think interim summary is, I think ASL pH regulations through CFTR mediated bicarbonate secretion and ADP mediated proton secretion is different in small versus large areas epithelial cells. I think V-type ADPs mediated ASL acidification in peak small airway epithelials. Inhibition of the V-type ADPs elevated ASL pH of small airway cultures and decreased ASL viscosity. Another summary is, I think based on the study, I think small airway epithelials are not a small version of large airway. And from yesterday's presentation, we can see also the large airway and small airway have different the cellular composition. And also today we are looking at the functional aspect. So I think CF lung disease affect both large and small airways. And I think another point is the relative contribution to the pathogenesis of CF lung disease are unknown. We don't know if the large airway disease or small airway disease is which one is more important for the pathogenesis of lung disease. I think if we can better understand the small airway, I think we can contribute to the knowledge required to cure CF. So this is basically the summarized slides say how the large airway and small airway regulate ASL pH differently. Large airway in non-CF, I think the CFTR contributed to bicarbonate secretion has to be checked by the ATP mediated the proton secretion. And this is different, in the small airways. In small airways, we use V0D2 V-type ADPs to regulate, to mediate proton secretion. Also, we found out there's a little bit more CFTR activity in small airways compared to the large airways. I think in the CF setting, this is, I think both regions, the proton secretion is not checked by the bicarbonate secretion. So that's why it caused the defect. So it affect, bacterial killing and, the ASL, the mucus viscosity will increase and it's hard to move mucus around. Then I think, I'll talk about a little bit of my future study here. So I think it will be very interesting to say, to study several aspects. Number one is if we selectively express of CFTR in CF small airway, what will be, changing the disease onset or development or not. Another aspect is we can target alternative proton pump in the small airways, like the V-type ADPs. We can use either siRNA or lentivirus lockdown or use even gene editing to lock out the V-type ADPs in the small airways. And the third aspect is we can use gene editing for the CFTR locus, for the small airways. If you have a selective markers, selective delivery tools like AAVs, I think the last aspect is, if all those can be translatable to the human small airways, I think that's million dollar questions. I think that's why CFRI will fund our work to figure that out. I think I will show one piece of data showing could be the case here. We can show, we cultured also a human large airway and small airway and stained V-type ADPs V0D2 subunit in the large airway and small airways. You can see from the left side, there's not much ADP6 V0D2 in the large airway in human, but we see abundant ADP6 V0D2 in the human small airways. I think this is make V-type ADPs is a promising target for future CF therapy. With that, I think I will acknowledge my current lab member, also my former institution at the University of Iowa, my mentor team, Dr. Debner, Stolz, Welsh, and Paul McCray, and my current collaborator at MSU and Spectrum Health. With that, I think I will happy to answer questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lee. We do have a few questions. Devin has a couple here. Why did we decide 2 millimeters to differentiate small and large airways? Sounds kind of arbitrary. Is there something in the way of the structure activity of smaller airways that differentiates it in a way other than the diameter?
I think it's a good question. I think the 2 millimeter coming from is from the 1980s, people doing the pulmonary respiratory physiology study, so they can use a catheter to plug the airway to using dog lung to find out when you reach to the 2 millimeter diameter, then suddenly the airway resistance disappeared. That means they're called a silent zone because there's no resistance anymore. That's how the definition carried along to 2 millimeter. I think I agree. Maybe it's because the different diameter, maybe the cellular decomposition is different, and we should rely on really the structure. I think what's the cellular composition in there. That's why in our newborn safe pig, we say maybe it's around 200 micron instead of 2 millimeter, in the newborn pig. So we look at the structure of the small airway. There's no gland, there's no cartilage there, and there's the epithelial cells, it's columnarized and it's not pseudo stratified. So I think, that's right. 2 millimeter is just arbitrary, I think.
Yeah. Do you know, have there been studies looking at inhaling bicarbonate?
I think the problem is inhaling bicarbonate is transient, right? The airway always has the ability to acidify it. So if we can find a prolonged way, like Iowa is my old group is trying FAM, which is the long lasting, correct pH regulating, pH correcting reagent to try to see if they have any effect on the bacterial killing or mucocellular transport. Yeah.
All right. Is ATP12A related to CF patients needing proton pump inhibitors in CF?
Proton pump inhibitor mainly is, sorry, what's the question again?
So I think he's referring to, having to take Pepcid or something. Is the ATP12A related to GI issues of needing proton pump inhibitors? If you know that, you may not.
Okay, so I think some safe patients maybe take proton pump inhibitor, right? So
yes, many do.
I think they have reflux issue.
Yes.
Right. So also there are some people saying maybe proton pump inhibitor they do inhibit ATP12A function, especially in newer generation maybe. So I think could be played a role in there.
Could be related, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Has pH levels, have pH levels been tested and shown to be increased in patients on Trikafta? I know I've heard, individual cases like Paul Quinton doing pH tests on his sputum. And yes, they have been increased.
I think at least in cell culture model, people showed Trikafta can increase ASL pH.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's in vitro, in patient people did that. And also, the ASL-PH in adult patient is not different because than non-CF, right? Because of inflammation can cause pendant upregulation, so they can compensate the pH difference. I think the ASL-PH maybe it's more important in the early stage of lung disease because you don't have inflammation there, but if you have a lower ASL-PH, then you have all those host defense defects because of the lower pH. So I think it's more relevant to the early onset of lung disease.
Okay, all right. And from Linda Bowman, when doing PFTs, why are smaller number airways not talked about in the results? I think
there's not a reliable way to measure small airway function, as that's the generally saying, because basically current method cannot measure small airway function basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, the 2575, that's kind of taken as a measure of small airways clinically, but you're saying that's not.
Some people don't like it because it's not stable and it's variable, and most people say it's not reliable. So.
Right.
But okay. We don't have much better, so that's why we're still using it.
Yeah. And Nam Soo Joo asks, the expression of V-type ATPase in small way airways of control versus CF pig.
I think both, I think both ATP6 V0 due to express it in both non-CF and CF. We did not detect difference.
No difference, okay. Mm-hmm.